Think about these truths of which we just sang. The resurrected King has resurrected me. Amen. And we declare the victory. Now, many of you watched football yesterday, or Friday night, right? And we got excited about what was going on with the football game. I'm going to talk about humility here today, but I'm telling you that I get excited about biblical truth. And when we sing a song like that, I mean, how could I not be more excited about the victory that we have in Christ than the victory that Ohio State had on Friday night? That's why I reach out to God in praise and adoration. It's not to call attention to me. It's to bring honor and glory to God. And so I'm telling you, just as we worship, I'm not talking about getting out of control. When I get excited about football, I don't get out of control. I just really get excited and just, you know, rejoice and jump up and down and everything. But when we get excited about Jesus, there's not a problem with raising your hands in adoration and praise for what He has done in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So I just want to tell you, that's why I do it. I want to encourage you that it's not wrong to lift your hands in praise to God. Yesterday we had an awesome time. Last night with Dr. Dan the Balloon Man, and the kids had a wonderful time. I learned how to make a balloon animal and all of that. It was a lot of fun. And one of the things that he did is he called up a couple of the girls, and he asked them, "Are you intelligent? Yeah, yeah. Are you strong? Yeah. I'm so. Are you humble?" They struggled with how to answer that question. Have you heard of the book Humility and How I Achieved It? I think that book's really more about pride than humility, right? You might be tempted to say, well, I don't have a problem with pride. In fact, I was counseling an individual years ago, and this individual told me, I don't have any pride. I submit that was a prideful statement in itself. You ought to think differently about pride and humility after reading James chapter 4. Turn to James chapter 4, and I'll tell you what, if you have YouVersion, I would encourage you to use YouVersion here today. These verses are all looked up for you already. We're going to be doing some Bible calisthenics through the book of Proverbs today, and another verse or two. But these verses are all looked up for you in YouVersion. But if you want to use the Bible in front of you, we're going to be turning mostly in Proverbs, but starting in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Paraphrased, it might say, what causes you to go ballistic when you don't get what you want when you want it? Look at James 4, verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The bottom line is, what is the root cause of contention? Pride. Pride must be put off and replaced with humility. That's what we're talking about here today. We're studying the book of Proverbs, so turn to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 2. It's kind of the key passage on humility we're focusing upon here today. We're studying the book of Proverbs, discussing the fact that true wisdom is from God and it is found in His Word. And that God's Word speaks to the issues of life. And one of the issues that we have to talk about as we head into the book of Proverbs is the issue of pride over against humility. And if you remember, as we look at many of the Proverbs as they're written, you have contrasting thoughts. And in the book, or in these verses, you'll see that half of the verse will talk about pride, the other half will talk about humility. That's the replacement principle of which we'll be looking at. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with the humble comes wisdom. There's the wisdom of God. We find His wisdom in His Word. Our take-home thought here this morning is humility is being like God. Humility is being like God. So we're going to look at God's view of pride over against humility through the book of Proverbs. So we're going to look at some insights, and just right out of the gate, I want you to know, based on Proverbs, thoughts in Proverbs, that God hates pride. God hates pride. One preacher noted, "Pride is a joy killer. It shrivels smiles. It spreads sullenness, and fighting always follows. Pride distorts our view of reality. We take ourselves too seriously to laugh at ourselves. We feel too indispensable to take a break from our work. We're too important to allow others to have unflattering impressions of us." But then, one glimpse of the glory of King Jesus exposes all this absurdity for what it is. It's embarrassing, really. We act like gods, little g-gods, when in comparison to the glory of God, we are mere ants jockeying for prestige. We are like candles boasting about our light when in reality, we're outside in broad daylight. Jesus outshines us all. The only way to get over ourselves is to get into Christ. Turn to Proverbs 16 and verse 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished." Abomination. That which God despises. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Here are six things that the Lord hates. Seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. At the top of this list are haughty eyes that God hates. That has to do with countenance, just that air of pride. God hates that. And yet all seven of these things, or the other six of these, stem from pride. And so that's a good passage of self-evaluation. Is any of that in your heart? Even lying, murder, right in the midst of lying and murder there, we have one who sows discord among the brothers. Satan fell due to pride. You read of that in Ezekiel 28. He was proud in his heart. He said, "I am a God." And God says in Genesis 3, 5, and the Ten Commandments, "You shall have no other gods before me." So that's a warning against pride. Look at chapter 15, verse 25, Proverbs 15, 25. "The Lord tears down the house of the proud." Proverbs 15, 25. "The Lord tears down the house of the proud." So tear down has the idea of being completely destroyed, to devastate. But he talks about the house of the proud. He's talking about the home. He's talking about the family. And when families are destroyed, when families break down, it's because someone has pride in their hearts. Could be a husband, could be a wife, could be the kids. When there's pride in the home, in the family, it destroys. Mark it down. That's what God says here. Look at chapter 16, Proverbs 16 and verse 5. Proverbs 16, verse 5. "Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished." Pride, an abomination, it's that which God hates, will not go unpunished. God will punish pride. God hates pride, and so must you. Proverbs 16, verse 18, same chapter. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." We're very familiar with that passage. You've probably heard that one before. D.L. Moody put it this way: "Be humble or you'll stumble." This is a fact as well as a warning. In essence, it's saying, beware of pride and arrogance. The higher you climb, the farther you fall. Proverbs 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. Look at chapter 13 and verse 10. Proverbs 13 and verse 10. By insolence, that has the idea of pride. By insolence comes nothing but strife. Contention, strife, debate. It has the idea of struggle. And it says, it will bring about ruin. It will destroy. Look at chapter 29 and verse 23. Proverbs 29, verse 23. One's pride will bring him low. One's pride will bring him low. It's counterintuitive because we think, man, nobody's paying attention to me. I need to exalt myself. I am number one. Look at me. Because if I don't, then people are going to ignore me and I'm not going to get the attention I think I deserve. But it says here that one's pride will bring him low. What happens when you do that? Everybody's like, ooh, stay away from that guy, right? I heard Stuart Scott. He's a professor. He's a teacher. He is on the board of Association of Certified Biblical Counselors. We go to counseling conferences and we hear him speak. And he's also an author, and he's written this book, From Pride to Humility. I assume before he wrote the book, he preached a message that I heard him preach at a conference. And when he was done preaching that message, I sat in silence. And I was thinking, I need to repent. All I wanted to do was sit there and repent of my pride. And he gives a definition of pride in this book. But then he points out some manifestations of pride. Here are some things. Think about how pride may be reflected in your heart in light of these manifestations here. Here are manifestations of pride. Complaining against or passing judgment on God. A lack of gratitude in general. And by the way, he makes these, points these things out, and then he writes a paragraph on them. Anger, manifestation of pride. Seeing yourself as better than others, having an inflated view of your importance, gifts, and abilities, being focused on the lack of your gifts and abilities, perfectionism, talking too much about yourself, seeking independence or control, being consumed with what others think, being devastated or angered by criticism, being unteachable, being sarcastic, hurtful, or degrading, a lack of service, a lack of compassion, being defensive or blame-shifting, a lack of admitting when you are wrong, a lack of asking forgiveness, a lack of biblical prayer, resisting authority or being disrespectful, voicing preferences or opinions when not asked, minimizing your own sin and shortcomings, maximizing others' sin and shortcomings, being impatient or irritable with others, being jealous or envious, using others, being deceitful by covering up sins, faults, and mistakes, using attention-getting tactics, and not having close relationships. I don't know about you, but when I read through those, I'm like, oh my. God hates pride. However, let's move on, right? All God's people said amen. Let's look at the fact that God honors humility. All right? God honors humility. Warren Wiersbe reminds us that missionary Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large Presbyterian church in Melbourne, Australia. The moderator of the service introduced a missionary in eloquent and glowing terms. He told the large congregation all that Taylor had accomplished in China, and then he presented him as our illustrious guest, Hudson Taylor. And I'm sure there was applause. And Taylor stood quietly for a moment. And then he opened his message by saying, "Dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master." Humility and wisdom are close companions. Proverbs 11:2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility is wisdom. We're talking about the wisdom of God. Last week we spent a lot of time talking about God's wisdom as we find in His Word. And here now we're seeing a huge part of the wisdom of God is replacing our pride with the humility that God so loves and desires in our hearts and lives. Humility means to be lowly, to be bowed down, to be burdened down. It has the idea of meekness, even poverty. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 says, He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 19. Proverbs 16:19, a couple pages over. It is better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide the spoil with the proud. Look at Proverbs 22 and verse 4. The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. God blesses humility. And again, James 4:10, as we mentioned James, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. He will exalt you. You don't have to do it yourself. So, with some understanding of these truths about pride and humility, how should that make a difference in your life? How does this lived out? And you know, changing in this area is not a matter of just, I got to stop being proud. I just got to stop being proud. But no, it's replacing it with humility. If you start walking in humility before God and others, it'll push pride out of your life. So, let's learn about growing in humility. How do you grow? How does this become a reality in your life? Growing in humility. So I want to give you some encouragements here. Some things that for you to think about. Things that you can say, okay, yeah, that's something I really need to work on in my life. The first one is, we talked extensively about this last week, it's the fear of the Lord. If you don't get this one right, then any kind of attempt at manifesting humility is self-induced. You need the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 22:4. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches and honor of life. The fear of the Lord is a proper view of God and seeing yourself as God sees you. We talked about that again last week. There is no way that you can stand before an almighty, righteous, holy, pure God. You cannot stand at the light of God exposes every flaw in your heart and mind. Every little chink in your armor is exposed by the light of the Lord. And so what we do is we realize that we cannot stand before God. That's where Satan ran into the problem. I am like God. I will be God. And he fell. And in that sense, Adam and Eve fell. They sinned. And so because of their sin, death passed upon all of us. And we sin. But they thought that there was a way better than God's way. God said, don't eat of the fruit of this tree. You need of all the other fruit, but not this fruit. And they thought there was a better way. And they doubted God, the wisdom of God, and they fell. And plunged you and me, the mankind, all mankind into sin. But by that one man, sin entered the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men because we've all sinned. We're all sinners. And so humility says, oh, as Isaiah, woe unto me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. And because of that, I need a Savior. Someone who died in my place. I deserve to die. I deserve to be separated from God. The fear of the Lord says, oh my, I can't do it. There's no way. I need a Savior in Jesus. And then to walk in the fear of the Lord. And so that Savior is Jesus. And so Maybe there's someone here, you don't understand that, or you need some help with that. We want to help you with that, the fear of the Lord. Here's another encouragement, and that is, cultivate an attitude of submission. Now this has to take place in our own hearts, but let me just use some illustrations here. How about the home? I mentioned the home earlier. Submission needs to take place, first of all, in the home. Dads, husbands, you need to be submitting to God. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We're not the kings of our domain. We are servant leaders in the home. We are leaders, but we serve the family as we lead, as we submit to the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. There's submission here. Cultivate an attitude of submission. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. See? It ought to be manifested in the home. You can work on that at home, and it ought to then be exercised in the church. There ought to be an attitude of submission in the church where we submit, Ephesians 5:22, to submit one to another. We submit to one another. You don't have to get your own way. You don't have to win. There's a submission out of reverence for Christ. It ought to be evident in your other relationships, but it all grows out of your submission to God. So how can you grow in the area of humility in your life? Be willing to submit. Be willing to submit to those in authority over you, and the first authority is God, right? To submit to Him. Because He is Lord. He is Lord. That's what that means. I'm going to submit to Him. He's my boss. Here's another encouragement, and that is, cultivate a servant spirit. Look at Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Humility is meekness. It's strength under control. And Teresa was watching Chip and Joanna Gaines yesterday. What's their show? Fixer Upper. All right. It shows you how into it I am. And she was watching Fixer Upper, and one of the scenes they had was Chip was riding a horse, you know, and they're, you know, riding around, and then they put one of their little girls on the horse, and Joanna's over there going, "Oh my." You see one of your little ones on that big horse, and oh my goodness. You know, when you look at that, you don't think, that wimpy horse, I tell you what, I can't believe that horse is letting that kid, you know. No, we think, wow, you know, that big, strong horse is so meek and so gentle with that little child. That's a picture of humility. That horse could run, jump, take off, and buck that kid off with like nothing. But it humbly submits, humbly serves at the will of its master. Humility is gentleness as opposed to harshness. Proverbs 22:1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. And favor is better than silver or gold. Look at Proverbs 29:23. Proverbs 29:23. One's pride will bring him low. We read this earlier. But he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. In the Old Testament, honor was often seen in riches. The idea is that needs will be met. But not only honor in riches, but in reputation. There's honor here, which is true success. You see, God is glorified when you humbly serve. Look at chapter 22 and verse 4. God is glorified when you humbly serve. The reward for humility, Proverbs 22:4, and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor in life. So, cultivate a servant spirit. Here's another encouragement, and that's be a learner. Proverbs 13:10. By insolence, that's the idea of pride, we mentioned this earlier, comes nothing but strife. But with those who take advice is wisdom. You see, learners ask questions. They listen intently. They pay attention. This is one reason why we teach our children to pay attention in class, right? And when I was teaching kids in children's church and in youth ministry and so on, I say, I expect your full attention during teacher instruction time. That means you look at me. I can tell you're paying attention when you are looking at me. If you're over there going, I can tell they have zoned out. All right? But if you're looking at me, at least you look like you're paying attention. It looks like you're listening to me. And then I teach, keep your hands to yourself. Keep your feet on the floor and listen to me with your whole body, not just your ears. That's the idea of paying attention. That's what a learner does. Be a learner. And then put what you hear, what you learn, into practice. So be a learner. That's an example, a manifestation, a way in which you show humility. It's like saying, what they're saying, I'm going to view that as being important. Whether it's listening to your parent, whoever is authority, or listening to your teacher, your professor, your boss, you're paying attention. You're looking at them in the eye. Here's another encouragement. And that is, don't look to be recognized for what you do. This is huge in the church. It's huge at work. It's even huge at home. If you think about this. You know, I made my bed and Mom didn't notice. You know, I did this for the boss at work and never said anything. I've been serving in the church for whatever and nobody's ever said anything. Don't look to be recognized for what you do. You may have heard the preacher who pridefully asked his wife, "Well, honey, what did you think of my message this morning?" And she responded, "Well, it wasn't as good as apparently you think it was." One preacher said that he had a wonderful sermon on humility, but was waiting for a large crowd before he preached it. Proverbs 29:23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. True honor comes when we don't call attention to ourselves. If man won't, and sometimes, you know, you do get overlooked. I did whatever it is that you did, and nobody said anything. You know what? God knows, and He recognizes that. And so, don't seek to be recognized for what you do. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't recognize people, right? I mean, I when we had the 20th anniversary celebration, I was blessed. I was blessed and encouraged and so appreciative. So it's not that we don't try to recognize people for accomplishments and so on. But as we look at this, don't look for recognition. It's a form of humility. Proverbs 4:10, humble yourselves before the Lord and He will lift you up. Another encouragement. Now this one is probably the most difficult in churches. As far as what I've observed in ministry, And some of it's our culture right now, because the culture is you have to be politically correct, right? And there is going to be a day, there's little doubt in my mind, where our practice is when we get our food at a restaurant that we bow in prayer, right? And every once in a while we'll say to our waiter or our waitress, we'll say, "Hey, we like to pray before our meal. Is there anything that we can pray for you about?" But there's coming a day, there's no doubt in my mind, where we're going to be praying and somebody will say, "Excuse me, sir, but I'm offended by you praying in public." We're getting to that point in our culture where everybody's offended. Here's the point here. And that is, if you want to show humility, don't be easily offended. Don't be easily offended. Being easily offended is a form of pride. And being offended is a form of anger. I wasn't treated the way I think I ought to be treated. And so I'm going to pout. Or I'm going to let somebody know what I think. I'm going to react with either an internal anger or an outward anger. I'm going to be sullen. I'm going to have my hurt feelings. It's a form of pride. In Proverbs 22:24, look at Proverbs 22:24. There's two verses I would like for you to see on this point. Proverbs 22:24 says, "Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man." Here's what the NIV says. "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered." Look at 29:11. Proverbs 29:11. "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back." Don't be easily offended. Here's another encouragement. And that is, it kind of goes along with this. You don't have to win the argument. Humility doesn't insist on being heard. Proverbs 20, verse 3. We taught this one to our children. All right? And those of you who have kids, it's a great verse to teach to your children. "It is to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel." That's the NIV. The ESV, as you have here, "It is an honor for a man to keep aloof from strife, but every fool will be quarreling." You don't have to get your way. It's a form of pride if you insist on your way. So these are just samplings of pride, of humility, excuse me. Samplings of humility, ways in which you can grow. But let me go back to Stuart Scott's book. And he balances out the matter of pride with manifestations of humility in your life. So maybe this will be helpful to you. It's an extensive study. I just want to show you that there's more ways in which we can all grow in this area. So here's manifestations of humility. Recognizing and trusting God's character. Seeing yourself as having no right to question or judge an almighty and perfect God. Focusing on Christ. Biblical praying and a great deal of it. Being overwhelmed with God's undeserved grace and goodness. Being thankful and grateful in general toward others. Being gentle and patient. Seeing yourself as no better than others. That was brought out in the passage that Jeremy read earlier in Philippians chapter 2. Having an accurate view of your gifts and abilities. Being a good listener. Talking about others only if it is good or for their good. Being gladly submissive and obedient to those in authority. Preferring others over yourself. Being thankful for criticism or reproof. Having a teachable spirit. Seeking always to build others up. Serving a quickness in admitting when you are wrong. A quickness in granting and asking for forgiveness. Repenting of sins as a way of life. Minimizing others' sins or shortcomings in comparison to your own, being genuinely glad for others, being honest and open about who they are and the areas in which they need to grow, and then possessing close relationships. We all have some work to do, right? We all have ways in which we can grow in this matter of humility. You see, humility is focusing on God and others more than yourself. Humility, in closing, leads you to serve, and serving others exemplifies humility. So, how might you need to change in a specific way in order to grow in humility? And humility is a key to unity in relationships. Relationships in the home, in the church. Quarreling comes from insisting on our own way. You know, in a church of 300... we'll have 400 opinions. Everybody wants to be heard, right? But if we desire to show that Christ makes a difference, then humility must be the defining quality, a defining quality of our fellowship. Famed preacher and missionary to South Africa in the 1800s, Andrew Murray, said this: "Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me and when I am blamed or despised. It is to have a blessed home in the Lord where I can go in and shut the door and kneel to my Father in secret and be at peace as in a deep sea of calmness when all around is trouble. It is the fruit of the Lord Jesus Christ's redemptive work on Calvary's cross, manifested in those of His own who are definitely subject to the Holy Spirit." I'd like for everyone to follow along with me, to read with me out loud. As Jeremy read earlier, Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, verse 5 says, "Let this mind be in you." In other words, here's the way we ought to manifest humility, just as Christ did. Let's read it together. Do we have that there? If we don't, go ahead, take the pew Bible from the pew in front of you. And it's in the ESV, so I'd like us to read it in unison out of the ESV or on your U version. You can look it up there. We're going to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And let's read this out loud together. Give me a second to get that. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5. Reading together, verse 5. "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are humbled by the example that we have in Christ. We're so undeserving. And yet so often we respond in pride. But may we let the mind of Christ be in us to humble ourselves, to be willing to serve You, to serve others. God, I pray that You would expose our pride and cause us to be able to put on the humility that You so desire. And it should be evident in our lives.